Our second scripture reading comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 1 through 13. I invite you again to hear the word of the Lord. Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So on the television show Lost, how many of you have seen Lost before? Okay, a few, so if you know what I'm talking about here. On the show Lost, for those of you who haven't seen it, an airplane crashes on a remote deserted island in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. For the first few days, everyone is convinced, all the survivors, they're all convinced that someone will be showing up any time to rescue them. So this group of strangers is just trying to get by until they're rescued. But by the sixth day, they start to get anxious that no one is coming. And so they start arguing and fighting over the little food and water and supplies that were on the plane. Tensions are running really high and they are at each other's throats. They are literally fighting on the beach of this island when all of a sudden a man named Jack stands up and he gives this big speech and he says, "Look, we can't do this. Every man for himself is not going to work. If we can't live together, then we're going to die alone." And that's a theme that runs all throughout the show. It's live together, die alone. It's a turning point in the show. And this group of strangers, they realize and they start coming together. They start sharing food and water and working together to build shelters. And they do more than just survive. They live there together. And I don't know about you, but when I was thinking about that this past week and I was watching the news and kind of looking at the world around us, I feel like as a country, we are on that island fighting over everything. You know, this week being the 4th of July, when we celebrate the 242nd anniversary of our independence from Great Britain, that independence is a part of our DNA as a country and as a people. It runs deep in us. But the problem is that spirit of independence over the years has turned into individualism, where it's all about me and my rights and my preferences and what I want or what I need or what I think is right. We are a bunch of strangers living with each other. We don't even know our neighbors. And like the people on that island, we need to be reminded that every man for himself is not going to work. Because if we can't live together, then we're going to die alone. We need to be reminded that our faith, at its core, is not about independence. It is about interdependence. That I depend on you, you depend on me, and we all depend on God. And Jesus talks about this kind of dependence when he talks about himself as a vine, and we are the branches that grow out of the vine, and God is the vine grower who's overseeing this all and nurturing and growing it all. Jesus depends on God, we depend on Jesus, and we are all connected to God in and through him. He says that just as the branch cannot bear fruit unless it's connected to the vine, neither can we bear fruit unless we are connected to God in Christ. And when he talks about bearing fruit, it's all about the good things that our lives produce, the evidence of our connection to God. Paul talks about it as the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. If we abide with God, living in dependence upon God, then those are the kinds of things that our lives will produce. Apart from Christ, disconnected from him, we can do nothing. We can't bear that fruit. But if we abide in him, live with him, trust in him, depend on him, we can bear fruit that will nourish others, will nourish the world. A life of faith is all about dependence on God. Theologian Scott Hagley says that people don't just need to be enlightened in their faith, taught information or knowledge about God. What we need, he says, is to admit our need. To admit the places in our lives where we need God to bring about healing and transformation and new possibilities. It's to live mindful of the ways that we depend on God, each moment of each day, that everything we are, every good gift, comes from God. It's this daily recognition that apart from you, O Lord, I can do nothing. But with you, if I abide with you, live with you, trust in you, depend on you, then I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. How do we do that? How do we abide with God like that and live in this constant state of mindfulness and dependence upon God? For one of the classes in my doctoral program earlier this month, I was introduced to a book called Practicing His Presence. This was written by two men over 200 years apart. There was a monk named Brother Lawrence in the 1600s and a missionary named Frank Laubach in the 1900s. And they write about this practice of turning our thoughts to God all throughout our day. How do we do that? What does that look like? It's this incredibly simple thing, they say. It's not about thinking about nothing but God every moment of every day. Both writers admit that that's impossible. But Laubach writes about trying to line up his actions with the will of God every 15 minutes or every half hour, or to call Christ to mind at least 1 second of each minute. He says it's as simple as whispering inside yourself, "Lord, you are my life," or "you are my thought." Or even just once each hour saying to yourself, "Lord Jesus Christ," and calling Christ into your thoughts and into that moment. Reminding yourself of God's presence by saying, "You are with me." Once each hour. Laubach says when you're eating a meal, whisper Jesus' words, "Eat this in remembrance of me." So that every meal becomes communion and every mouthful is his body broken for you. He says, when you're reading, keep a running conversation with God about the pages that you are reading. Ask, "What are you saying to me here, God? What are you trying to teach me?" Instead of talking to yourself, he says, form the habit of talking to Christ. We all have those running conversations in our heads throughout the day. But what if instead of saying, what am I going to do? You say, what am I going to do, Lord? That changes that question. If you start having thoughts that aren't fruitful or faithful, stop yourself and say, Lord, draw me back to you. It's just some small, simple phrase or way of turning your thoughts back to Christ once every hour or however long, so that as you go about your day, you're having this continual conversation with God. You're mindful of Christ's presence with you. Laubach writes, can I bring the Lord back in my mind flow every few seconds so that God shall always be in my mind? When you're faced with a decision throughout your day, ask yourself, God, what are you calling me to do? There's a Quaker author named Thomas Kelly who writes about a life of little whispered words of adoration, of praise, of prayer, of worship that can be breathed all throughout the day. In this way, we are living with God, abiding with God, practicing dependence on God in each decision, each action, each moment of each day. Jesus says here that if we abide with him and abide in his love, then we will bear fruit and we will love one another. If we're connected to the vine of Christ, we aren't just connected to God, we are also connected to each other. Our abiding with God turns into our abiding with each other. Our dependence on God turns into depending on each other. Our love for God turns into loving one another. And Jesus says here, no one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. The question then becomes, who are our friends? So in that show Lost, the survivors of this plane crash, they come together, they find a way to live life together on this island, but eventually they discover that they aren't the only ones living on this island. There's this mysterious group that they refer to as the Others. And what happens is the survivors of the crash come together and love one another and depend on one another as they fight against the Others, who it turns out aren't all that different from them. They form tribes, right? So the survivors and the Others, us and them. They fight each other and kill each other. But as the show goes on, they come to realize that if they are going to make it off of this island, not just survive, but if they are going to make it home, they have to find a way to work together with the Others. In the same way, we come out of our individualism, but we tend to do that with people who are like us. Right? People who look like us, think like us, believe like we do, share common interests with us. We form tribes. And we define ourselves in opposition to other tribes. Conservative and liberal. Christian and Muslim. Presbyterian and Catholic. Black and white. American and foreigner. Citizen and immigrant. Rich and poor. There are any number of ways that we practice tribalism. But in our reading from Mark's gospel, Jesus, he's been going around teaching and preaching and healing people, and one day his family shows up. And someone says to him, your mother and your brothers and sisters, they're outside and they're asking for you. And Jesus says, who are my mother and my brothers? And he looks at the people around him. He says, here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and my mother. Jesus resists defining himself in terms of his family, his literal tribe, and defines himself in terms of something much larger. He says, whoever abides with God loves God and does God's will, whoever bears fruit, that is my family. In the same way, we are called to overcome this tendency toward tribalism by recognizing that we are a part of something much larger. Can conservatives and liberals do God's will? Yes. Can American and foreigner, citizen and immigrant do God's will? Yes. Can Presbyterians and Catholics and Christians and Muslims and Jews bear the fruit of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and generosity and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control? Yes. And if we can't recognize that and find a way to live together, then we're going to die alone in our tribes. Jesus says that no one has greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. And we usually hear that call to lay down one's life as meaning to die, to give up your life in dying. No one has greater love than to die for one's friends, because that's what Jesus did. But to lay down your life can also mean to set aside your life. That I'm going to take my life, my needs, my desires, my preferences, and I'm going to set them aside to live life with you. Because that's also what Jesus did. He didn't just die for us. He also lived with us. And Christ is calling us to live in love with God and with each other. You can't separate the two. They are as connected as the branches on a vine. Our love for God is made manifest and real in the ways that we love our neighbors. Not just the ones who are like us, but especially the ones who are not like us. This past week, author Shane Claiborne quoted Mother Teresa saying, "So often, the problem is simply this, that we make the circle we put around our family too small. We are to love as big as God loves. And God's love is higher and deeper and broader and fiercer than we can ever imagine. Abide in that love. Bear fruit that glorifies God. Love one another and make that circle bigger. In this way, Jesus says, you will become my disciples, and you will find joy." Amen.